Hello, everyone. Good to be back with you. Open up to Romans chapter 14, please. And someone wouldn't mind getting me a glass of water. I forgot about that beforehand, but I never can quite seem to make it through without needing a drink of water. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay, good. Romans 14. I have to get there myself. So we're doing a series at Cornerstone on Romans, and I get to take chapter 14 next week. So I get to practice on you tonight. Usually it's the other way around. I do one at Cornerstone, and I speak here. So you're getting the first version, the uncut version today. So let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open your word together tonight, and just pray that we would learn from it, and you would teach us and guide us into your truths, and how we can apply these teachings from Romans and other scriptures to our lives. We just ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, why don't we read chapter 14? You maybe haven't looked at that in a while. Just kind of refresh your memory, and we'll read through the whole chapter. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat, thank you, all things, but he who is weak only eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean in itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, and whatever is not from sin, or whatever is not from faith is sin. So as we look at this chapter, as I look over this chapter, you know, first thing that the writer talks about, or Paul talks about, is a Christian who thinks it's not okay to eat meat, a vegetarian, like, and so first off, you think, well, this chapter really isn't that relevant to our life because we don't run into that problem too often where we have a dispute between the meat-eating Christians and the vegetable-eating or the plant-eating Christians, but as you look through it, you see that it is a very relevant chapter, and there are other doubtful things that we can think about that do apply to today, but I think it's very relevant because it deals with God's people, the church, and our relationships with one another, and you know God wants us as Christians to get along and to have a close relationship with one another, and to have affection for one another and love. And it's very important to him. And you think about if whether you're a parent or not, or you're part of a family, and you want your family to be close, and you want, I mean, I think of my parents, my brother and I, he lives in Phoenix, so we don't get to see him all the time, and my mother often encourages me to call my brother, and I always say, well, they're in a different time zone, and it gets late at night, and I forget, and I give excuses, and she probably says the same thing to him, hey, why don't you give your brother Mark a call once in a while, so, and she naturally wants us to be close and have a relationship, and God, in the same way, wants his children to have a close relationship and to get along. And really what this chapter is about is helping us to teach us to how to get along when we have when we have disagreements over doubtful things, like the idea of them eating meat and not eating meat, and holidays we're going to talk about. And I'm also going to look at a few other instances where the Bible instructs us on what to do and how to handle situations where we disagree on things. And so if I was to kind of try to pick a theme for the chapter of what we should get out of this, if we just kind of remembered one thing and forgot, I know they say, right, most of what we hear from a message we forget in next week and 2 weeks, and we forget everything probably within a month or so. But if you could remember one thing from this that maybe we can latch on to for a while, it's in verse 19. Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which may edify one another. And we want to have peace in the body of Christ. We want to do things that edify one another and build one another up. We want to walk in love, as it says in verse 15 too. So let's look at what's going on here. In this situation, starting off in verse 1, we have the person who is weak in the faith because, in verse 2, because they eat only vegetables. So we know that God teaches in the Word that we can eat any type of food. We can eat meat. We can eat vegetables. But apparently, in this situation, there are some Christians probably, when this was written, there were many Jews who became Christians, and they had a lot of rules, and they were coming out of a legalistic type religion that they, you know, the Judaism that they walked in all their life, and they couldn't do certain things, they couldn't eat certain foods, and so now they come into this relationship with Christ, and they can enjoy these things that they had these liberties that they didn't have before. So I guess it was maybe difficult for some of them to kind of walk, you know, to cross over to that liberty that they have in Christ as far as, say, eating meat and things like that. But anyway, you know, what it's instructing us is that if we come into a situation like that where a Christian, young Christian has some maybe ideas that are not correct, and in this case, the thing about eating meat, you know, our natural thing would be to want to straighten that person out, right? To want us knowledgeable, mature Christians, we would want to open up the Bible and show him things like, well, you know, and let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6:13, and where it says food is for the stomach, and so here, try this meat, and you know, we just want to straighten the person out, right? That's what we naturally want to do. I know that's the way I am anyway. If you come across somebody who says something wrong, you want to kind of correct them, right? But God teaches us differently here. He teaches us differently than what we would expect. What does he say? He says, first of all, what does he say not to do? If you look through this chapter, there's quite a few things that God says not to do. He says not to dispute with this person. So let's not get into the dispute and open up the Bible and show them where they're wrong right away. That's in verse 1. God says not to despise this person. Okay, verse 3, let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And also, God says not to judge this person. And let not him who does not eat judge who eats. And then in verse 4, who are you to judge another's servant? God says not to judge. God says not to grieve this person by eating food in front of him. As Christians, we have liberty to do certain things, like eating meat. But yet, if that's going to offend someone, God says in verse 15, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. So we shouldn't grieve one another with things like this. God says not to offend this person, down in verse 21. Don't do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Now, on the other hand, what does God say to do? God says in verse 1, to receive this person, and as I said before, to make peace, and to seek to edify this person. Again, God, it's most important to the Lord that we have close relationships in the church and that we don't let disputes over doubtful things ruin our joy and our fellowship and our good relationships with one another. Now, the next thing that Paul writes about is holidays. Okay, we look down at verse 5. We read that already, that one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Interesting point here is that Paul doesn't call either party the weak party. In the first case, there was a weak Christian who didn't think we should eat meat. But he really doesn't refer to either party as weak here. And at first I kind of thought, when I noticed that, I thought, well, that's kind of strange. You would think I would have thought that the party that believed that we have to celebrate some type of holiday would be considered the weak party. Because as we know, the Bible doesn't teach us that we have to observe any holidays. As a matter of fact, on the contrary, we know from Colossians that Paul writes, tells the Colossians people to let no man act as their judge in regard to new moons, festivals, or Sabbaths. So, the Bible teaches really there's no holidays that we really need to observe. But, when you think about Paul's life, and reading in the book of Acts, we learn a lot about Paul's ministry. And one of the things he did do is he sought to go back to Jerusalem near the end of Acts for what? He wanted to celebrate the Passover. And so, and he, probably like many Jews in that day, sought to, they celebrated the Passover. And so now I guess that my little theory is that that's why Paul doesn't call one side weak or the other, because he was actually on the side that actually decided to celebrate a holiday like the Passover, or consider it a special day. And what he's saying, that's okay. It's okay that he does that, and it's okay, and he never put that burden on the Gentiles when he taught them, so it's okay if we don't. And that's still relevant today, because you do see a lot of Jewish people who become Christians today probably still celebrate the Passover. Now, we had back, I can't say last year, but now it's 2 years ago, we had a brother, I can't remember his name, but he came from a Jewish ministry, and he spoke at our chapel. He spoke at Northgate, and he put on one of these what do they call them, Seder meals? He went through one of those. And so we were talking, I was talking to him afterwards, and you can kind of tell from the conversation that he felt all Christians should do this. This is something that Christians should do, to celebrate the Passover, that's what the New Testament teaches. And he wasn't really coming on real strong, but I kind of got that impression. He was not being real forceful about it, but he was giving me that impression, and I was giving him the impression that I didn't think that was true. But yet, it's okay. It's okay if he's convicted of that and he's fully convinced in his own mind that he should do that. I don't think God is upset with him. He's setting aside that time to think about the Lamb of God, and that's okay. And if I don't do it, I'm fully convinced in my own mind that I'm not offending God in any way by not celebrating the Passover, because I don't feel that the New Testament instructs us to do that. But again, I guess the point is that we shouldn't, this is, a doubtful thing, and something that we shouldn't spend time disputing over and trying to convince each other of these things, or we shouldn't judge or despise one another for these type of things, but just live in peace and seek to edify and build one another up, and to not offend in these areas. It's okay for us to have differences about these type of things. Now, this is a good time of the year to speak on this topic, since we all, most of us anyway, or probably many of us, I don't know which word to use, but I'll say many of us have probably just finished celebrating Christmas. And we had a tree, and we gave each other presents, as probably many of you did. We had a special meal, Lavinia made for us, and we all ate, and we're happy. And so we celebrated Christmas. Now, we know that December 25th is not Jesus' birthday, but yet it's a day that the world generally says this is the day we're going to recognize that, kind of commemorate the coming of the day we're going to remember that the Savior came into the world. And of course, we know that a lot of people, it doesn't mean much to them. It's just a time of to have a party and to give presents and the family time. And but yet it's a time for us who do, Christians who think, you know, we believe it's okay to celebrate Christmas and we want to do that. We see it as a time that we could, you know, try to bring Christ into Christmas and keep him there. You know, send Christmas cards with Bible verses on it and sing Christmas carols and try to bring the gospel to people through Christmas. And also it's a special time for our families. But, you know, there are Christians who don't see it that way. They don't think we should celebrate Christmas. And again, that's okay. We don't need to, you know, spend time getting in disputes and trying to straighten each other out about that. You know, we don't need to despise one another or judge one another. But again, you know, it's about the body of Christ having good relationships, and so we shouldn't have any negative relationships with one another over these type of things. Now, interest as I bring up this as a little aside, you know, I did. It was a kind of a thing this year because Christmas is on Sunday that churches had a decision to make, and you know, a lot of churches around the country completely canceled their services on Christmas Day, and I was noticing that in the DNC, which is the Rochester newspaper, and I could say DNC in Rochester, everybody will know what I'm talking about, but I have to explain that to you. And so the Rochester newspaper has a section called Thumbs Up and Thumbs Down, and so they'll say, well, thumbs up to the Boy Scouts because they cleaned up the park and that kind of thing. And so they gave a thumbs down to the mega churches across the country who were closed on Christmas Sunday. So when we do these things, even though that's not the Christian church, we're, you know, the relationship with one another we're talking about, yet, you know, we know that people are watching us, and if we do things that don't make sense to them, you know, they'll let us know. I remember one time years ago, I think Christmas must have been on a Wednesday or sometime in the middle of the week, and it was the year that it was Congress at that time. We didn't have for some reason, we usually have a Christmas Eve service anyway, and we didn't have anything that year. Must have been an off year. Nobody was willing to step up to the plate and put it together. And I remember saying to somebody at work that they were asking what we were doing for Christmas and what our church was doing. And I said, well, man, we're not doing anything. And he knew I was a Christian, and he was kind of surprised. You're not doing anything? Church isn't having any kind of service on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? And so, again, it's not exactly what's going on in this chapter, but it's kind of the same thing where, you know, perhaps that was a little stumbling to them to think that, you know, Christians wouldn't go to church during that time. But anyway, that's a thought to consider. What other things are mentioned here that couldn't be considered to fall into these categories? Well, in verse 21, it does mention it is good neither to eat meat, nor to drink wine, nor to do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended and made weak. So we have to consider that fact about that if we drink wine, that somebody might see that. Now, we saw Timothy was given the okay to drink wine for his ailments and all that. But if we drink wine in front of somebody who doesn't think that's appropriate for a Christian, even though we might feel that's okay for us for whatever reason, we have to realize that could stumble them. And that could cause them to fall. So we have to be careful about these type of things and how we act, even if we feel we have that liberty. And so then I was thinking, well, you know, there's a few things that we talked about here that are mentioned here specifically, but what about some things that aren't mentioned? How can we make it a little more applicable to today? You know, so I tried to think of some things, and so I know I'm taking a risk here because you might disagree with me, but I guess I have to admit these are my opinions, so you could. I won't mind if you disagree with me. Hopefully, it's a doubtful thing, so you don't have to mention it. But anyway, one thing that comes to mind is music styles. You know, there's a variety of music styles that people like, that Christians like, that are used in church services across the country or the world, and there's, you know, obviously there's going to be differences of taste on those things. Okay, now, and there might be some music that's just downright bad. I don't know, you know, just evil for all I know. But the important thing, though, is whatever our music style is that we like, that you got to admit, it's kind of hard to convince somebody from Scripture that, you know, their style of music that they like is wrong. a Christian person, you know. So these are the kind of things that we're going to disagree on. They're doubtful things. But the important thing is, I think, is that we don't judge one another about these things. And we don't despise and look down on one another because we have these differences of opinion. But on the other hand, we also have to be careful, too, especially when we bring the music into the church, that we don't grieve people because of our music. Put that in verse 15. If your brother is grieved because of your music, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy for your music the one who Christ died. Because, again, people have reactions to different styles of music. And we have to be careful not to offend for something that we might think is our taste, but to offend somebody else. This goes, I think back, when I think about music, I have a story from my own life years ago. Even though we're talking today, Uncle Dave, I'm not a very musical person. I played the trumpet for about a year maybe, and they kicked me out. But anyway, I remember when I first became a Christian, I had this album collection. Now, for you kids who just want to, maybe some of your older kids too, an album was a round thing. It was black, and you put it on this thing, and it went round and round, and it played music. You might have seen them in old movies, maybe. I don't know. But there's these things called records, and I had a record collection like every other kid, and in my age group, and but when I became a Christian, I felt like, well, this music that I listened to, this rock music, it led me down the wrong path. It taught me, philosophies that were rebellious and caused me to do things that my parents didn't want me to do, and they were obviously against God, even though I didn't realize it at the time. So I need to get rid of this album collection. This is not good for me to have it. So I said, I'll take this collection down to the second time around store where you can sell it, get some money, and they'll sell it to somebody else. So I went down somewhere in Buffalo, and I parked my car and was walking towards the store, and I thought, wait a second, if I sell these things to the store, then some other kid's going to be able to buy them, for cheaper than he normally would if he had to buy a new one. Therefore, I might be kind of perpetuating this problem of people listening to this lousy music and getting some stupid ideas in their head and doing some rebellious things. So, for a few dollars, I'm not going to, I decided it was wrong to sell these records and kind of help these, people get their rebellious message out. So I said, okay, I'll take it home and I'll throw it out. But then when I was going to throw it out, I thought, I've seen kids, especially if they see things that they like in your garbage, they're going to walk by and, hey, look, what's that? And they're going to start picking through your garbage and they're going to take it. And so I said, so I'm going to take a hammer and I'll break all these up. And that was kind of fun, breaking up all the records. So anyway, that's where I was at. This music to me was something that I needed to get out of my life. And, so I broke it up and I threw it out. And so I say that so that we'll, be as a reminder to be sensitive about things, especially when you have a new Christian. They might, we might feel that, oh, yeah, maybe we could listen to this song or that song. But we have to be sensitive to that because we might offend a new Christian. So maybe it's not music, maybe it's something else. But we need to be careful that on how we act, even though we feel we might have that liberty, that we don't stumble that new Christian. And we'll talk more about those things as far as we're concerned later. Those things in our own life. Now, getting back to our passage here, and I guess I could think of, I could go on and on about some other doubtful things, but it could be doubtful whether they're doubtful things. But anyway, I just want to think about the term doubtful, doubtful things. It's kind of an interesting term that you really don't see too often in the Bible, right, Jason? I don't see that a whole lot. I didn't get the concordance out, but you don't see that too often. And so we have to think, well, what does the Lord consider a doubtful thing? And when does he consider something not be a doubtful thing? Because there's some things we don't doubt about, right, in the Scripture. There's doctrines that are very important, and we're not going to be wishy-washy on those and not debate over those things. So we have to be careful to differentiate between what the Lord considers a doubtful thing and what the Lord considers to be a doctrine. And so when the Lord, God gives us the doctrine in the Bible, it's basically an instruction on, what to believe or how to act, and there's really one way, right? And and they're not doubtful things. So what could we think about that would help us to differentiate? Because maybe there's some things that are not as clear to us. But I think with a doubtful thing, we have to remember what either way that we go, God is pleased with us. Okay, so let's just go back to the passage here. Verse 6, he who observes a day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives thanks. So see, either way you go, whether you eat meat or you don't eat meat, you're not offending God. Whether you observe the day, whether you don't observe the day, you're not offending God. So those are the doubtful things that you can do, either one, and you won't be offending God. Well, a doctrine is, if you don't do, if God says to do something and you don't do it, or if he says to don't do something and you do it, that's not a doubtful thing. Like God says, thou shalt not steal. So if we steal, we can't say, well, it's a doubtful thing. I mean, it's not really stealing when you steal from the IRS, is it? We were talking about that this morning. Tax time is coming up, right? Are we all going to be, do our taxes correctly? Or are we going to fudge a little bit? But anyway, so things that God gives us clearly that we, if he says not to do something or do something, that's doctrine or that's teaching, and it's not a doubtful thing. And then just because Christians disagree about something doesn't make it a doubtful thing. Or if Christians, a lot of times, if there's something that people don't want to follow, or they'll say, well, it's not really that clear in the Bible, so, it's a doubtful thing. Whatever way you do it, it's okay. Now, for example, and I try to think of an example, and I came up with this one about women preaching. Now, I believe, and probably all of you or most of you believe that, women should not teach or usurp authority in the church and from men. And now we know across Christianity worldwide, especially in the United States, there's a lot of women who are preaching from the pulpit, and they think that's okay. Somehow they can, pick up the scripture and think that's fine to do. Well, we disagree. Now, we think we're right on that, and I think I'm right on that, but anyway, that doesn't make, if just because they, they have a different opinion doesn't mean that it's okay for them to do that. It's not a doubtful thing. So if indeed I'm right and what the scripture is teaching that women shouldn't teach from the pulpit, and they do that, they're really going against God's word. So I hope that's clear in what I'm trying to say here. So what do we do? Now, I talked about that. I was going to mention a few different, what to do with other types of differences. Now, this is a different type of difference, if I can say that. It's a difference on doctrine. So what does the Bible tell us to do when we have differences on doctrine? Differences that there's, that we do one thing, it's not a two-way thing. It's only a one-way thing. But in Ephesians 4:15, I think it teaches us there, on this subject, we are to speak the truth in love. Okay, so if we have differences, doesn't mean we should not talk about them, we should not teach them. We should speak the truth in love. Now, if we stop talking about things we disagree on, if we stop teaching about those, eventually we'll probably stop teaching about a lot of things because I think that's the nature of that type of, I'll call it the beast. The nature of that beast is when you say, well, we can't teach that because this person doesn't want us, doesn't like it, and we can't teach this because this person doesn't like it, and we, after a while there won't be too much to teach. So we are to speak the truth. If we see it from Scripture, we can support it from Scripture. But on the other hand, it says to speak the truth in love. We have to come across in a loving way and have our lives and be involved with people, and show them that we're not just, here to hammer everybody over the head with the truth, but that we love people, we really want to help them to know God's word and to follow it. And that's the problem with truth. And the Bible even says that the problem with truth is it tends to puff us up and make us proud, and then we come across as being unloving and uncaring. And even in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, which is kind of a parallel passage to this, it's the passage that talks about meat offered to idols, and even though it's okay to eat that because, again, it's just meat, it's just food, and food is for the stomach, yet you know, if you eat meat offered to idols, you might offend somebody who sees that as a problem. So it's a very similar passage. And in that passage, that's where that verse comes from, in 8:1, that says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if we go back to what I think the point of this chapter is that it's about relationships in the church. And this chapter happens to be about doubtful things, but in these doubtful things, the most important thing is to have peace with one another and to edify one another and to build one another up and walk in love. And really, that's what it's saying when it talks about speaking the truth in love. Again, love is the answer in all these situations. Now let's go back to the point of where several times it says in this passage about judging. You know, who are in verse 4, who are you to judge another servant? And then in verse 10, but why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? So in this passage, we shouldn't judge one another for these type of things, but if we look at other scriptures, there's times where scripture tells us we should judge one another. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So I just wanted to clarify that so that we, you know, a lot of times Christians will say, oh, don't judge that person. You're being too judgmental. And certainly that's right in certain circumstances, like in chapter 14 of Romans. But there's some situations where we should judge. So we just have to be aware of that and differentiate. And in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, and I won't read the whole, I'll just pick a few verses here just to remind you of this passage, as I'm sure you know it. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest of matters? And then I'll skip down. Verse 5, I say to your shame, is it so that there is not a wise man among you, nor not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. So in this case, they're saying two Christians have a dispute, a disagreement, right? Just like the other chapter 14, there's a dispute over a doubtful thing, but in this case, it's a dispute perhaps over some issue of land rights, or maybe there's a property that was some destroyed and needs to be restitution made, and they can't agree on whether who did what or what the price should be, you know, whatever that might be. You know, today many people, if there's that kind of problem, they get a lawyer and they sue, right? And so what the scripture is teaching us, that we shouldn't do that among Christians, that we should come to the church and find a wise man and let that person judge the matter. So again, there's a situation where we're taught to judge between two brothers in a disagreement. And we won't look at verse chapter 5, but just before this, in chapter 5, there's a situation where somebody's involved in gross sin, and you're familiar with that passage, I'm sure, and the instruction there is to judge that person for what they did, because they did something that was clearly wrong and they're continuing in it. So again, I just thought I would mention that about judging. Let's go back to chapter 14, because you know, there are different situations. Okay. Now, going to back to chapter 14, and we'll look at the last few verses now. And so for the most part, I think chapter 14 is talking about, again, relationships with one another. And that, you know, God is teaching us these things because he wants us to have peace with one another. He doesn't want us to walk around always despising one another for these things and judging one another. He wants us to have hearts that are, you know, close to one another and that are drawn to one another. But at these last few verses, it really kind of focuses back on us. Okay? How are between us and the Lord in these things, in this area of doubtful things? Because, you know, there could be things that, you know, yeah, the Bible doesn't give us instruction on everything. It doesn't tell us whether and I just want to commend you all for being out here and missing part of the NFL playoff games. And you get an extra blessing for that, coming out and hearing me speak. And, you know, but there's things like that, you know, can I miss church once in a while to watch a football game? Is that a sin? Is that a doubt? You know, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly what to do. Is it wrong to watch TV? go to a movie, all these kind of things that we're confronted with almost every day. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what to do. It doesn't say you can't watch TV. It doesn't say you can't go to a movie, but we know that there's a lot of garbage out there that we don't want to be involved in. We can certainly spend a lot of time doing those things, too much time. Kids listening, you spend too much time watching TV or on the computer and the internet, right? So there's a lot of things that we could waste our time, but they're not necessarily bad in of themselves. We can use the internet for a lot of good purposes. But so the point here is at the end, you know, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So if we're on one hand saying, well, the Bible says I can do, doesn't say I can't do these things, so I approve of these things for my own life. But yet on the other hand, we're saying, well, gee, I really don't think, you know, I'm just wondering really if God really wants me to be doing this. You know, I'm spending an awful lot of time doing this. Is this really right? You know, I'm missing church sometimes because I'm doing this, and I'm staying up late, and I'm not really, you know, spending enough time with God. And, you know, so you start condemning yourself for all these doubtful things that you're approving yourself to do. And so, again, this is about your relationship with God. And it says, and if you're doubting while you're doing these things that you're approving, you're condemning yourself because you're not doing it from faith. And when whatever is not of faith is sin. So we have to be careful for our own selves now in all these doubtful areas that we're not really offending God. Because, you know, it even says there that, but if he doubts, is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. So even if we're doing something that's okay, God is saying our attitude is what counts here. So in this case, we know it's okay to eat meat, but it's saying here that if we're doing it with a conscience that's telling us that we shouldn't be doing this, then that's a problem that we have with God. So we need to pull back and not do those things that we're convicted are wrong. And then also too, just in closing, just we'll go back to the thought from verse 10 that we didn't really talk about too much. You know, why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? And the last part is, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So we're going to have to account. Unfortunately, I just want to remind us all that we're going to have to account for our time on earth. So if we've been wasting our time and doing a lot of things that are doubtful and spending too much time doing these things like watching TV and playing games and whatever it might be, and not serving the Lord, we're going to have to account for that. So again, we tend to want to judge other people for these things, but we have to remember we have to think about and give an account about ourselves to God for these things in the end. Let's pray.